This morning our text is found in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. 740 years before the event was to take place, Isaiah the prophet, through the Holy Spirit, looked down through the centuries. And he saw this young mother wrapping her baby there in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem. And he wrote of this momentous event. He said, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it in judgment and in justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." He saw the coming of Jesus Christ in two aspects, or from two perspectives, or in two dimensions. From the human side, he said, "Unto us a child is born." From the human side, a young couple have been driven by the decree of Caesar Augustus from their home in Nazareth to Bethlehem, because Caesar has ordered that all of the world be taxed, and so it was necessary that they return to their home city for the enrollment of this taxation. And because Joseph was of Bethlehem, he had to return. And it mattered not to Caesar that Mary was late in her pregnancy, about to give birth to a child. In fact, he didn't even know of Mary. She was insignificant and obscure as far as Caesar was concerned. And so, though it was dangerous, this young couple had made this journey of almost 70 miles and have now arrived in Bethlehem, and no sooner have they arrived, then her contractions begin. And so we see Joseph as he is trying to find a place, a shelter for his young wife, where she might bring forth her first child. He goes to the Cataluma. The scripture translates it the inn. But when we think of an inn, we usually think of something like a hotel or a motel or something like that, and an inn is far from that. A cataluma is only a walled-in enclosure. There's no roof. The people would have the shelter from the wind by these walls, but there was no accommodations. There was a well usually in the center of the courtyard, but it was just an open courtyard, but even it was crowded, and there was no room there. And because now the contractions are becoming, they're coming so regularly and so severely, that they find a place in the stable. And there she brought forth her firstborn son. And we watch her as she tenderly wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays him down in the hay. unto us a child is born. But there are children being born every day. There are children that are being born under adverse circumstances. What's so big a deal about a child being born? Well, this story is interesting because this young man who was doing so much to care for his wife and to find a place for the baby to be born, though he is her husband, he is not the father of the child. Now, some 9 months previously, when they were engaged, waiting to be married, an angel of the Lord appeared to this young girl, perhaps only 16 years of age, and he said unto her, "Hail, you are highly favored of God. The Lord is with you. You're the most blessed of all women." And she wondered, what kind of a greeting is this? And the angel went on to say to her, "Behold, you are going to conceive and bring forth a son, and call his name Yahshua. For he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." She said, "How can these things be, when I've never had physical relationship with a man?" And the angel said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One that is born from thee will be called the Son of God." Well, she came to Joseph, and she sought to explain to him the fact that she was pregnant, and then told the story of the angel. And Joseph thought, what kind of a wild story is this? And he doubted, because who's ever heard of anything like this before? A virgin expecting a child? He was torn because he loved her. He had always known her to be honest and honorable. Such a beautiful person, but oh, who can believe that wild kind of a story? An angel appeared. Now, he knew that if he would, at this point, publicly divorce her, and she being pregnant, everyone would catch on, and she would be stoned to death by the community for her sin against her betrothed. And he loved her too much. The thought of her being stoned and being put to death by that vicious crowd, he couldn't quite bring himself to that. So he thought, maybe I can just get rid of her quietly, send her away someplace, and just quietly dissolve the whole thing. What am I going to do? And while he was troubled over these things, an angel of the Lord came to him one night and said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For she has conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she is going to bring forth a son, and you're to call his name Yahshua. For he shall save his people from their sins." He was not to be named after Joseph. He was not to be known as Bar-Joseph. He was to be named after his father, Yahweh. Call his name Yahshua, which means Yahweh has become our salvation. Call his name Jesus, the Greek for Yahshua, signifying that God has brought salvation to the earth. And so, in the fullness of time, in the city of Bethlehem, there in a stable, this young girl brought forth her firstborn son. Without the aid of a midwife, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him there in the manger. Soon shepherds were to appear and gaze wonderingly at this little baby as it was lying there. For these shepherds had been informed by angels that if they would go to the city of Bethlehem, they would find there in a stable a little child wrapped in swaddling clothes. But this little child was ordained by God as the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And suddenly there was with that messenger from heaven a multitude of the heavenly host. Hillsides of Judea were brightened by their presence as they declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men of goodwill." Unto us a child is born. That's looking at the story from the human side. But now as we look at the story from the divine side, as the prophet now turns his perspective and he sees it from a divine side, he said, unto us a son is given. This child that was born in Bethlehem is in reality a son that is given to man by God, the Son of God. Unto us a son is given. You see, when God first made man, the purpose of God in making man was that God might have fellowship with man. In a sense, you might say that God was lonely. He desired fellowship, meaningful fellowship. And he created man, placed him upon this planet Earth, that he might have fellowship with man. And for a time, man had fellowship with God. But before long, man thought that he could experience life more fully by following his own desires, though it was disobedient to the command that God had given, yet there seemed to be something that he felt he could gain from that disobedience in following his own fleshly desires. And thus man disobeyed God. And in disobeying God, lost fellowship with God. He tried many ways to get back into fellowship with God. He tried to build religious bridges, religious systems, but all of them came short. And man was lost apart from God. Now there were men who were called professors. because they professed that they were smarter than everybody else. And they told man, don't worry about God, he doesn't exist. Right and wrong are only a figment of man's imagination. There is really no truth. There is really no good or evil. It is all relative to man's own experience. You must live for yourself. You are a highly evolved animal, and therefore you must just follow your animal instincts like any good animal. And you can find fulfillment and meaning by just obeying your own animal instincts. And so men, because they thought these men were so smart, began to follow their instructions. They began to live to please their own appetites. But their lives became more frustrating, more futile, empty. And man was lost and enshrined in darkness. Oh, there were other men who came along and they said, yes, there is a God. He is up there somewhere, but he is clothed with such mysteries. And so far away that you'll never be able to discover him. He has written a book, but no one can really understand the book unless they have their doctorates in theology. So we will take care of God for you. You just pay us, live as you want, and we'll see that everything is covered. We'll cover your bases with God. Make sure, though, you pay us to do so. And so these men began to become very wealthy as they proclaimed that they were able to bring man into a reconciled state with God. But in reality, they were blind. And the blind were leading the blind, and they were all falling in the pit. Now, God loved man, even though he was in the pit, even though he was groping in darkness. Even though he had rebelled, God still loved man. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And unto us a Son is given. Herein is love. Not that we love God, that's no big deal. But that God loved us and gave his Son to be the sacrificial offering for our sins. That's what true love is. God giving his Son. Unto us a Son is given. Now years have gone from the day that that child was born. Society has advanced with its modern technology and scientific discoveries. And yet, there are still men who call themselves professors because they profess to be smarter than everybody else. And they say that God doesn't really exist. That you really cannot find good or evil because they do not exist either. It is all relative to a man's own experience. And thus you should go ahead and obey animal instincts that are within you to try to discover life. Don't feel inhibited. If it feels good, do it. For after all, there is no God, and you're not going to have to answer to anybody. But now we are in a dilemma. We are facing a Christmas season. And so these men have to have something for the people, some excuse to buy all of these things. And so they say, the real spirit of Christmas and the real story of Christmas is that there is a man who lives up the North Pole. He has a gray beard and a red suit. And with little elves, he's been working all year long. And on Christmas Eve, he's going to get into his sleigh that is loaded down with toys. And he's going to hitch up his magic reindeer who are going to bear this sleigh through the skies all over the world, coming to the homes of all of the little good girls and boys. And he is going to leave them the toys that they have been praying for. Oh, yes, and you can meet him at the department store. And your little children can sit on his lap while their picture is being taken, and they can pray to him directly, right there on his lap. And if they're good, he'll answer their prayers. Now, you mustn't believe the fairy tale stuff about Jesus. That's just all fairy tale. This is the true story. I feel so sorry for people today who have been duped by the commercial interest, duped into going into debt, duped into rescuing our ailing economy, duped into buying all of these things at this time of the year. Many things that aren't needed, and of course, cannot really be afforded. And so people, though because it's Christmas, after all, oh, yeah, you know, I've been wanting this so long, and oh, it's Christmas, let's go ahead, go for it, you know, Christmas. And the day has become one of the emptiest days in the year. A day when there will be more suicides than any other day this year. For you see, Christmas destroys a lot of illusions. We think that if we just had this particular thing, oh, we would be so happy. We would be so satisfied. This would be so wonderful if I could just have it. So Christmas is my excuse. I'm going to get it. And we wrap it up and put it there with the other gifts. And we open it up, and now we are holding it. It's mine. It's in my hands. But somehow, it's not doing for me what I thought it would do. Somehow, now that it's mine, it isn't so exciting anymore. I'm still empty. I'm still frustrated. Bring me a drink. I can't bear it. I can't face it. I thought this was going to do it, but I'm still empty. Bring me another drink. And by the time the day is over, they're going to be so soused, they're not going to know what day of the year it is. Because they've had to drown their disillusionment. They've been victims. Hey, but that's just the beginning. You've got payments for 24 months. Sad indeed, the blindness of this world. Oh, there are still religious leaders too. They say, hey, you know, yeah, there's a book, but you can't understand it. Nobody can understand it. But we've got our doctorates in theology, and let us worry about that for you. You just go ahead and pay us, and we'll take care of God. Just so long as you drop your contribution in the plate, we'll see that you're covered. You see, it was these men who actually crucified the child that was born, the son that was given. Because he was saying, hey, you can't buy your way into heaven. He was saying, God loves and he wants to give to you freely. You can't purchase it. You don't have to buy it. It's a gift. God's love and fellowship with God is a gift for you. You can't purchase it. And these fellows were saying, look, do you hear what he's saying? We'll be out of business. We won't be able to afford our servants anymore. Everybody starts listening to him, we'll be broke. We got to get rid of this fellow. And so they plotted and put him on a cross where he took my guilt and my sin and my corruption, and he died in my place that through his death I might receive the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Unto us a Son is given. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth is not condemned. That's the true story of Christmas. That's what it's really all about. And if you are not celebrating that on Christmas Day, but still you are celebrating, surely you must be celebrating something. What are you celebrating? Well, for centuries, pagan people have been celebrating on December 25th, even before this child was born. They have been celebrating, actually, the winter solstice. As the sun has passed through the winter solstice and the days are now becoming longer, They would gather on the 25th of December, and they would get drunk, and they would give gifts to one another, and they would have all kinds of revelry and celebration. Because by the lighting of all of their candles, they've helped the poor old sun to pull through another winter season. The days are now getting longer. Let's celebrate. The sun has made it again. All right. With our help, all of the lights that we've strung, and the candles that we've lit, we've pulled him through. Time to celebrate. And so there has been a celebration for years that is accompanied by gift-giving, drunkenness, and the whole thing called Saturnalia. And to those who are not really celebrating the fact that a child was born and a son was given, then in reality are celebrating the old pagan holiday of Saturnalia. Now, the prophet Isaiah jumped 2,000 years. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But that child that was born, though he is destined one day for the throne of David and to rule over the earth, was crucified, despised, rejected, even as he writes in the 53rd chapter of his prophecies. But the promise of his sitting on the throne of David and upon his kingdom is not negated. It is yet future. Jesus, the Son of God, is coming again, and that very soon, to fulfill the remainder of the prophecies. And those who have received him shall reign with him in his kingdom forever. Those who reject him will go on in darkness, hopelessness, emptiness forever. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But just like any gift, it really isn't yours until you accept it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your gift, your son that was given. May we receive him today. As our Savior, as our Messiah, as our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.